Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This is Theology Thursday. Typically, we look at the news of the day from a Christian worldview. Today, we look at the source of the Christian worldview, God's Word. This email from a listener named Hugo. Hugo said that he used to watch the TV show years ago, but about 4 or 5 years ago, he found us again on the internet. That's pretty cool, having this way to reach people. And he said, I am not a Christian per se. And that's sad, right? I'm not a Christian per se. When we get to heaven on Judgment Day, God's not going to say, are you a Christian per se? He's going to ask, have you humbled yourself and trusted in my Son, Jesus Christ, who died and was raised for your sin? That's the question. Have you humbled yourself? In what way is Jesus Christ not worthy of your trust? He is worthy of our trust. So he said, I'm not a Christian per se. I was raised a Catholic, but don't really feel like one. But I found your show and the ideas fit mine. Also, your help in understanding the Bible is invaluable. And I'd have to disagree with that. Because after all these years of him tuning in, if he's only a Christian per se, then the help hasn't been all that valuable. Not at all. And that's tragic. I would hope that Hugo would be a believer by now, but we don't give up on him. When there's life, there is hope. When there's life, there's hope. And of course, he's writing to ask us a question about Christ's sacrifice, so that's another opportunity to share the gospel with an unbeliever. Anyway, Hugo writes, I have a question for you. Today on Valentine's Day, here in the office where I work, management decorated the doors with a quote from the Bible, which reads, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What a beautiful thing Jesus Christ said, and even more so, that he did for us, that he died for us. And praise the Lord for the body of Christ working throughout this country and around the world. Even though we're often ineffective, we're often inefficient, we're often counterproductive in the way that we misrepresent God, either through sin or through saying things about God that are not true. But still, through all of that, God chose to work through us. To preach the gospel through us. Because in his wisdom, he knows that saved people sharing the gospel with unsaved people is the best way to reach the hearts of the lost. Jesus Christ did a lot of miracles, and for the most part, the people who saw the miracles despised him. Think of the miracles that Moses did, that God did through Moses for 40 years, and the masses hated him, and they rebelled against God and died in unbelief in the wilderness. So God knows, because of the hardness of our heart, the best way to reach people is they hear his word through the testimony, the lives, and the witnessing of those who have come to the knowledge of salvation. So the holiday, Valentine's Day, here's just some, cultural holiday. So some fanatical Christians use that as an opportunity to witness to their employees. Pretty cool. No matter what's happening in the world, it's only one small step, usually just a half a sentence or so, to approach it from God's perspective. So that open doors are everywhere. People will pray for years for an open door. I've never quite figured that out. Open doors are everywhere. It's open mouths that we don't have. All we have to do is tell people that because of their sin, they're destroying one another, and they would destroy heaven if God let them into heaven. But if they will humble themselves and ask God to forgive them of their sin because of Christ's death and resurrection, they could be saved. So just take any excuse, a headline in a newspaper. It's Valentine's Day. Greater love has no man. In fact, Valentine's Day is named after a Christian minister named Valentine, who was martyred. He was killed on February 14th by Claudius II, way back in 270 AD. Now, by the way, in Christianity, to be a martyr, that means that you are killed because of your obedience to God. Whereas today, in the Muslim world, in the vernacular used widely throughout Islam, you're called a martyr if you killed as many women and children as you could while you were dying. See the difference? In Christianity, God sacrificed his son for you. In Islam today, millions think Allah is calling them to sacrifice their sons for him while taking out as many other kids as they can along the way. But back to the Christian story of Valentine. It comes down to us through some variation, of course, right? They didn't document things in newspapers and encyclopedias back in the year 270 AD. But the basics of the story is that this Christian Valentine, he refused to comply with the law. The law issued by the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius Claudius II, who forbade men to marry. He issued this edict, men could not marry, young men couldn't, because he wanted them for his army. He thought if they married, they wouldn't be very good soldiers. And so what happened? Well, the story is that this Christian minister, Valentine, he disobeyed the law and he secretly performed marriages for young men and women. And when the emperor found this out, he got personally involved. For one, he had Valentine thrown in prison. And then he would actually visit this Christian in jail. And he made an effort to convert the Christian to Roman paganism, to all the Greek pantheon of gods that were then given Latin names, just paganism. And so what did Valentine do? Well, St. Valentine, just like Ken Scott would, instead he tried to convert the emperor. The emperor comes to convert him, and he says, I'm going to convert you. Well, it didn't succeed, the conversion, but the emperor was still the emperor, and therefore he gave the order to execute the Christian Valentine, who was killed. And just before he was martyred, he sent a small card to the daughter of one of his jailers. One of the guards had a daughter who was born blind. So he sent her a message to minister to her, and he signed it, from your Valentine. And thus began the custom of displaying our love in remembrance of a man who chose to obey God rather than man, to reinforce marriage when it was under attack, and to honor God's law above any compromise that men devise by sending a card to the one we love, signed, from your Valentine. But let's go back to Hugo's letter. He quotes from the Bible, and it's from the Lord, recorded by the beloved apostle in John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Of course, that's Jesus speaking of his own death on the cross to pay for our sins. And Hugo continues, I have the idea that we should not ever forfeit our life in exchange for the life of another, as that is basically suicide. It's amazing how misinformation, false conclusions, can be tangled up into a generally rebellious attitude, and they become excuses for rejecting the God who loved us and who died to save us. Some little thought, some error picked up along the way, is enough for me to reject my Creator, my Savior. So we have to watch out. That's why the Bible says that we ask God to search our hearts and know our ways and see if there's any wicked way within us
to lead us in the everlasting way, because it is so easy for me to take a lie and build my life on it, and then I will be destroyed. So he says, I have the idea that if you forfeit your life for the life of another, that is basically suicide. I know that this quote is in the context of Jesus dying for humanity, but can you please elaborate more on it? It's a bit confusing. And I think he's asking this question as respectfully as you can. It's not wise to challenge God or to accuse God when he's pouring out his love for mankind to accuse him of sin. That's not wise. That will not go well on Judgment Day. But we're not yet at Judgment Day, and God is merciful. And God says, come, let us reason together and be prepared to give an answer to those who ask. So he's asking. And he ends, thanks and keep up the good work, Hugo. So I wrote Hugo back with the help of Doug McBurney. And Doug is a Marine. And Marines are known for their devotion to their buddies. And sometimes, in a tragic circumstance, that means jumping on a grenade to save the life of your friends. And that is not the sin of suicide. So while drafting a reply, Doug came over yesterday and helped me get it right. So the reply, Hugo, thanks so much for writing. Regarding your comment, quote, I have the idea that we should not ever forfeit our life in exchange for the life of another, as that is basically suicide. Regarding your comment, I know that you're referring to the crucifixion of the Lord, but let's divide your question into two parts, suicide and the crucifixion. Suicide first. Suicide is the intentional killing of oneself where the goal is to die. That's the goal. That wasn't the Lord's goal, to die. That wasn't his goal. But where the goal is to die, and for example, if you failed in your first attempt, you would try to kill yourself again. That's suicide. And it's almost always for cowardly and selfish reasons. There could be other reasons. Someone could be so mentally ill, they truly are so sick physically that they don't know what they're doing. Overwhelmingly, it's for cowardly and selfish reasons. On the other hand, if a German soldier threw a grenade into a foxhole, the American GI who jumped on the grenade to save his buddies would be a hero, not a coward, nor selfish, because he was saving lives the only way possible. But if the grenade failed to detonate, he wouldn't then go ahead and kill himself, because killing himself was not his goal. His goal was to save others. Sometimes there is no other possible way to save others than to die in the process. It's not wrong to throw a bomb at others to kill them. If you are in a just war and on the right side of that war and the targets are justified. But a suicide bomber doesn't want to just throw the bomb. He wants to get killed in the process, which shows the fundamental immorality of the kamikaze. That word means divine wind, bringing honor to family. And Islamic jihadist, which means holy warrior, bringing himself to paradise. So there's quite a moral distinction between suicide and an emergency effort to save the lives of others. Regarding the crucifixion, the cross was an emergency. Without it, all would be doomed. God wants to be able to save those who would humble themselves, and there was no other way. This is what Jesus struggled with in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he died, as he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. If it is possible, I don't want to die. Death is separation. When Adam and Eve sinned, they died spiritually, that is, they were separated from God. And eventually, because of spiritual death, we die physically, that is, our soul and spirit are separated from our bodies, so then we die. Death is separation. Jesus Christ did not want to be separated from the love and fellowship he had for eternity past with his Father. He didn't want the suffering of bearing the world's sin so that his Father would be punishing our sin by pouring out his wrath on the Son. He didn't want that. If it is possible, any other way, if it is possible. Jesus did not want to die. He did not want to be separated from his Father. But there was no other way to save our lives. Now, if we trust in Christ's death on the cross, our sins will be forgiven. And because we believe in his resurrection, we will be saved to eternal life. It's that easy and that hard because our pride makes humbling ourselves one of the most difficult things we can ever do. Thanks for writing, Hugo. Bob Enyart. So here's just one opportunity, one individual, one soul, one email. Here is someone who's seeking. Other people are not seeking. They're not interested. You bring up God, they'll yell at you. And so whether you're at work, your first obligation at work is to your boss, so you can't take his time that he's paying you for to be a missionary. That's not appropriate. But you can ask God for the wisdom to preach the gospel to your coworkers in ways that do not dishonor your boss. So you can do that. And that's risky. And so you have to weigh that because God knows that we have an obligation to our wives and children to provide for them. In fact, if you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. So the Christian father, husband, who has a wife and children he's providing for, and he goes to work and he recklessly preaches the gospel and he gets fired, that actually could be sinful. That could be sinful. And he says, I was fired for preaching the gospel. Well, maybe you were fired for not honoring your boss and the paycheck that he was giving you. That's another interpretation of what's happened. God expects us to share the gospel with those around us, but to do it in a way of wisdom, which doesn't mean I'm not sharing the gospel. It means I'm looking for a way to save someone who's headed to hell whenever their last breath comes. I'd like to read another email to you, also on the topic of suicide. This woman, Suzette, is asking whether or not suicide is the unforgivable sin. That's basically her question. Or is it an unforgivable sin? If you commit suicide, then are you definitely in hell? Greetings. My name is Suzette, and I'm from Florida. I have a question regarding a family tragedy. My nephew's 29-year-old wife, Shauna, took her life Saturday evening by shooting herself in the head. She left behind a beautiful family, including a 5-year-old daughter, Kayla, and a son less than 1 year old. How devastating, huh? Her daughter, Kayla, found her mom slumped over in the bathtub. This is all very sad. My question is, of course, where is Shauna now? I'm not sure of her beliefs, although she was somewhat mystic. What is the truth that Jesus expects me to say to my family as it relates to suicide and the afterlife? Since this has happened, I've been in shock, yet searching the Bible to find answers, but I'm not even sure where to look. Please help me. God bless you, Suzette. The world is filled with suffering, unspeakable suffering. Why? Because people rebel against God. People disobey God, and we suffer as the consequence. Usually, although not always, most of our suffering comes from our own rebellion against God. That's a rule of thumb. Those around us suffer usually because of how we disobey God and cause them to suffer. Not always, but that is the norm. Families are torn apart, which is unspeakable suffering, typically not because of foreign policy. Typically. It does happen, but that's not the norm. It's because of one despising the other, hurting the other. That's typically why we destroy ourselves. Now, think about the idea of an unforgivable sin. I suggest to you that there are not many unforgivable sins, but only one. If you think of murder and adultery, well, King David is good evidence that murder and adultery can be forgiven. Can they not? Yes, they can. Can the sin of dying apart from Christ, could that be forgiven? The sin of dying apart from Christ, can that be forgiven? No. That is the unforgivable sin, although when the Lord spoke of the unpardonable sin, he couched it in a different way, but I believe that's what he was talking about. The unforgivable sin is dying without salvation. Yes, but didn't Jesus say in the Gospels it was blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Yes, that's what he said. Those were the words that he used, but I believe that what he meant was that the Holy Spirit's ministry, the purpose of the Holy Spirit in the world, is to lead men to Christ. That's the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit. When you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you attribute to God wickedness, then that is the attitude that leads men to die apart from him. So that the unforgivable sin is that you've lived your life, however long or short, and you have said, I don't want God in my life. I wrote back to Suzette, Dear Suzette, I'm so sorry to hear about this tragedy that Kayla found her mother is just devastating. My wife Cheryl says that suicide is one of the most selfish things a person can do. Biblically, there are only two suicides that I can recall, and they were both done by wicked people, King Saul and Judas Iscariot, both of whom are in hell. However, suicide is not the unforgivable sin and is not the indicator as to whether someone goes to heaven or hell. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that would include even the shedding of innocent blood. And that's what suicide is. God has only authorized mankind to use force to kill in self-defense, or in a just war, or when a government executes someone convicted of a capital crime. That's when God has authorized human beings to kill other human beings. So suicide, here is this person taking their own life apart from the authority of God, destroying the sanctity of human life in the mind of those around them. And as suicide is promoted by our culture and cultures around the world, it is destabilizing to a civilized society. So that we saw kamikaze pilots and that shame during World War II. And we see jihadists today and the suicide bombers and that shame today. And we see as suicide is becoming increasingly defended and glorified in our wicked culture, we see an increase of murder suicide. Because criminals typically think inside the box of their culture. And when suicide is so anathema, when it is so outside of the pale, criminals who don't tend to be the brightest in society, they don't even consider it in their toolbox of options. But when suicide is promoted by our culture as good, then suicide, it's on the tip of their tongue, criminals and murderers. And so, hey, if I'm going to kill myself, I might as well take out as many as I can. And so you have an epidemic increase of murder-suicide in the newspapers, in the news. But Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that includes the sin of murder, so that King David could be forgiven. And the Apostle Paul, who was a murderer, he killed Christians who trusted in Jesus Christ. He was a murderer, and he could be forgiven. And suicide is the shedding of innocent blood, even though it's your own. So severe, devastating crimes can be forgiven if only the person trusts in Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. And his death was sufficient to pay for any sin except for the sin that rejects his sacrifice. It's the only sin that his blood cannot cover. Writing to Suzette, you said Shauna was a mystic. I don't know exactly how you're using that term, but of course, if she rejected Jesus Christ and had never, ever humbled herself to trust him, then she was telling God that she's just not interested in him. If God allowed into heaven people who had so much pride that they never even once trusted him, then that would turn heaven into hell, because it's the people, not the furniture, who make the difference between heaven and hell. It's too late, Suzette, to pray for Shauna. If she had trusted in Christ earlier in her life, she's with the Lord. If she has only rejected him, she is in the afterlife apart from him. But if I were you, I would pray and do more, if possible, for Kayla and the baby. We will pray for you. May God bless you. Pastor Bob Enyart, Denver Bible Church. All the suffering in the world because people would believe a lie rather than the truth. Please turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Did Jesus Christ want to die? Did he want to die? Of course he did not. But he died because there was no other way to save our lives. And if you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, I urge you this very day, this very moment, when this message is over, if you'd like to come to me and say, I don't know if I've ever trusted in Jesus Christ, please come. You could talk to me, any of the elders of the church. I would like to pray with you, just so that you could say clearly, so that you know, you can say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I'm so sorry I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. And by his resurrection, you will be saved to eternal life. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. This is the Garden of Gethsemane. Many of us here have gone to Jerusalem. We've been in this garden. We've read these words. We've prayed there, thanking Christ for what he did for us. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, his inner circle, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Then he went a little farther alone and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Did Jesus Christ want to die? He didn't want to die. He loved life. He's the author and the giver of life. Death is separation, and he did not want to be separated from his Father. Least of all did he want his Father to pour out his wrath on his only begotten Son. Because he loved us, he was willing to die for us. That's not a sin. That's not a mistake. It wasn't an error. It was the commitment of a holy and righteous God to provide a way of salvation if only we will trust in him. The suffering of the world is because we have turned our back on God. And when we sin, each one of us, even as believers, we bring more suffering into the world. More suffering into our own lives, into our families. And that is why God urges us to press on in our relationship with him, deeper in, further in, to get to know him better, so that sin, by its very nature, will grow repulsive to us, because we know how it destroys, and the life he gives is not worth compromising on holiness.
Hey, this is Bob Enyart. If you would like to hear more, you could go to our store online or call us at 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-8000. 1-800-273-9278 or go to kgov.com, click on the store, and then you can get our Bible studies, or go to the subscriptions where you could subscribe to our sermons and our Bible studies. You could get really fun verse-by-verse studies or topical Bible studies. I think you'll love it.